Welcome to the NutriMedical Report, and again, this is hour two of our three-hour programs now, Monday to Friday, Sunday evening, two-hour programs. We also need your help to get on as many AM/FM stations, micro-broadcasters across the country and overseas, and do copy the program. Send them out on YouTube. You're going to find the content is going to be unique compared to any other program on this or any other network for several reasons. The first is we cover everything from solid credentialed health and wellness products and nutraceuticals. I teach for the Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine and also the American Academy of Environmental Medicine and have contacts with the top docs in the world on this. Also, I am a whistleblower. This is a place for whistleblowers. This is the place to come if you have information we're going to be posting up in the next few days. This information on the Urban Shield, Crystal City Urban Transport Study, and Christina Murata, Ph.D., was, of course, the chief science officer of this document, which I received. They had unclassified and classified information, which I'm going to be posting up. You need to know they're doing these war game simulations because one of their options, I can't tell you which one they're going to use, is to blow up dirty bombs or nukes in U.S. cities, either before or after a preemptive strike on at least military targets in the Bashar reactor in Iran. And it's all, the war is on. If you hear reports from others that tell you it's not, they're just not telling you the truth. The fact is, at the very least, they're going to hit the Bashar reactor because the Israeli government will not tolerate a nuclear Iran, and they just got a new shipment of another 6,000 centrifuges in terms of the 3,300 they already have. With the proper technology, they will have all kinds of high-grade uranium. This is going to take out the molybdenum, which is a contaminant of the uranium that is literally in their own country, but that can be done. They don't have the bomb, and yes, they're years away, but current American policy is pushing Iran. All they have to do, to be honest with you, is just call up Russia, their big brother, and they have already Russian missiles they can snap on warheads in a half an hour, or go shopping in North Korea. So if you don't think that they and the Syrians have missiles with things like VX and nasty chemical or other weapons, they have 80,000 weapons in countries including north of the Litani River, in Lebanon, Syria, and other countries, all aimed at Israel, little Israel. But Israel has literally Samson's weapon. It has 450-plus multiply targeted missiles that can have multiple warheads. It has advanced biological chemical weapons and the most advanced race-specific bioweapon plants in the world, okay? So you do not want to try to mess with Israel. But on the other hand, you do not want to try to take out the Islamic nations, and attacking Iran is the stupidest damn thing you can imagine. And Admiral William Fallon was, quote, dehired for this reason. We're going to talk about why there is such a desperate race toward the finish line, stark naked, these globalists, where they don't even try to be subtle anymore about their plans to weaponize our food, take away our guns, destroy our money. They're in a desperate race, and we're going to talk about why this hour and the next hour. We want your questions on these topics because we're going to connect it to your health and why they're trying to chemtrail poison you. Places like Malibu, they're putting in fluoride, they're tripling the amount of fluoride in the water now with all these studies in Europe showing that there's no evidence of any health benefit, and there's tremendous evidence of danger, 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 you know. Why are they doing this? They're doing it because it is a global eugenics policy, and it's tied to the events we're going to talk about in the next 2 hours. So I want to welcome to the program John DiNardo.
Hello, Dr. Deagle. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience.
Well, we're going to, you know, as I tell people on our show, there's a couple things that make it unique. The first thing is we're going to stimulate them intellectually and provide information that's not only in the regular Zone 1 journalistic area, because I post up 25-plus articles every day, but also we're going to bring in and connect the dots with documents from reliable sources that are whistleblowers, advanced scientists, and we're going to connect disparate but well-proven facts, such as the plasma nature of the universe, the periodic cataclysms, the I Ching and Mayan calendars, the biblical prophecies, astrophysics, the Hubble telescope, the new mirror Helios satellites that are watching the sun from different angles. All of these very important facts, and we're going to bring it all together in the next couple of hours to try to explain to people what's really going on with our plasma universe and why 2012 is such a big deal. Not that it's all going to happen on that date, but that there's a series of things that are already started to happen, such as climate shift, geothermal activity under the oceans, magnetic shift of the Earth that started in 97, that's already happened, superstorms, tsunamis like the Aceh tsunami that happened a few years ago. And we're going to see, as it's already developing, holes in the ozone layer and the magnetosphere in the deep South Atlantic near Antarctica and the deep North Atlantic, the high North Atlantic, up around the Arctic Circle. They already have developed huge ozone holes because the magnetic sphere of the Earth that generates the ozone layer is generated by the movement of magma under the crust of the Earth, and it's dramatically starting to change course. So there's some things happening. They're going to, as Yeshua HaMashiach has said, Jesus, that earthquakes will increase in diverse places, and believe me, we're seeing them. And there's lots of other events, including major climate shifts that's going to cause famine, and other events that are going to be, quote, signs in the heavens that are going to frighten those who are not informed and don't know personally that our God is God. So, John, I want you to give us a little bit of information on the background of this whole issue of the perturbations that have been followed for well over a century, going back more than that, of Uranus and Neptune, the issue of Planet X, Zechariah Sitchin, and all the other things, kind of tie it together so people have a basis to start understanding. It's not going to all kind of play out on December 21st, 2012, but the globalists know something is coming, and they're not preparing the public at all.
Okay, and in 1781, the planet Uranus was discovered. Shortly thereafter, they noticed that there were perturbations in the orbital revolution of the planet Uranus, and they correctly postulated that there must be some strong gravitational force pulling at a distance on this planet every time it reached a certain point in its orbital path. As years passed by, in the mid-1800s, the planet Neptune was discovered, and the perturbations were also noticed in Neptune, which is further out, of course, and this stimulated a great research among the astronomical community to discover which massive body could be causing this gravitational pull on both the planets Uranus and Neptune. And in the process of searching for this planet, Percival Lowell built an astronomical observatory, the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, and he named this mysterious planet Planet X. So the name Planet X is not a weird, hokey, recent sci-fi invention. It came from a major major astronomer in the field, Percival Lowell. This astronomer, Clyde Tombaugh, later on, in 1930, finally, while he was searching for Planet X, and I have this on the Science Channel, that Clyde Tombaugh was searching for Planet X. Also in the New York Times articles, I have that fact. And in the process of searching for Planet X, Clyde Tombaugh found the planet Pluto. And, of course, they noticed that Pluto also was undergoing perturbations at a particular point in its revolution around the sun. And this was really caused a great flurry of concern among the astronomical community. Later on, in the late 20th century, in the 1970s, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration of the United States government was very concerned about finding this planet. Dr. Robert S. Harrington of the U.S. Naval Observatory did calculations based on the direction of the perturbations and the amount of it, the degree of perturbation. He actually was able to theoretically calculate the mass of this planet, found it to be very large, very massive, and he pretty much calculated its theoretical position, which was...
Yeah, and he used, by the way, Newtonian physics. He used Newtonian calculations of equations based on gravitonics, and of course there's more advanced equations, but it shows that this is real science. It's not science fiction. It's not comic book physics. It's not wacko. This is serious. You need to know that they know that this comes periodically. It's not a new thing. It's always happened many times before. We're going to continue with John DiNardo and much more about the basis and the history behind this so that you'll know there's a scientific fact. And then we're going to try to get rid of the fiction from the fact and give you some help here. welcome back, John DiNardo. Please continue with this history. And, of course, the history of the periodic cataclysms is written into all of the ancient history from Aristotle and all of the ancient people like Plato, his writings about Atlantis, the formation of mountains and continent forming, the ancient archaeologists have unearthed evidence of civilizations that predate the so-called modern era by many thousands of years, the civilizations that have wiped out, such as the Minoans in Crete. These things happen, and they are tied to the movements, quote, of the heavens. That's why they called them the ancient Chaldeans, the occultists, and what it meant was not what we think. It was the occulting of the signs in the heavens, the formations of signs of alignments, the passing of comets in the signs, and the changes of the cycles that bring about solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. All of these things are tied to events that cause periodic cataclysm. Please continue with some of the science.
Okay, in this search for Planet X in the late 1970s, early 1980s, Dr. Robert S. Harrington, the chief astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory, wrote a document. This was an internal document from NASA, actually, and it was called The Search for Planet X. This term, Planet X, had been carried forth through the astronomical history of astronomy from the days of Percival Lowell until NASA got a hold of it and continued with using the name Planet X. This is a secret document coming from an organization, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, which is by charter an organization that keeps secret its information from the public who fund them.
A little humor here. The NSA stands for No Such Agency.
Right.
Okay, go on, please.
The NSA was a national security agency which oversees the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And the National Security Agency, the NSA, dictates that NASA must not divulge information to the public unless given authority by the National Security Administration.
Yeah, by the way, you want to know the size of the budget, the CIA budget? The NSA's budget is somewhere around 120 times bigger than the CIA budget, and the CIA budget is somewhere around 20 times larger than the FBI budget. So it gives you an idea in terms of multiples, and that's the public budget, not the off-the-books budget by the NSA or No Such Agency.
Wow, it's just amazing to contemplate how much money we Americans have spent on these organizations that are actually working against us. And at a time now where they're working toward the death through ignorance of hundreds of millions of people in America and around the world. But Dr. Harrington correctly calculated where this Planet X was located. So the last thing he needed to do was to prove where it was actually located telescopically. He went down to Blackbridge Observatory in New Zealand because this planet must be viewed from the southern hemisphere, close to the South Pole, because it's coming in from below the ecliptic of our planets. Now, the ecliptic is sort of like a tabletop upon which all of our planets rotate. Visualize it as an imaginary glass tabletop on which are the racetracks for all the planets that revolve around the sun. Well, below that tabletop or the ecliptic plane, this is where Dr. Harrington calculated that this planet was coming in, and it's coming in at an angle 40 degrees below, at 40 degrees to the ecliptic. So it would be like if you're sitting at a dinner table and a fly came in or a bee came buzzing in around your knees, that's where it's coming in. So it has to be viewed at around the southern hemisphere. Dr. Harrington went down there around 1991 with an 8-inch telescope, which is not a very big telescope, and he was able to see it. Now, if he was able to see it with a relatively small telescope, it must have been very large or relatively close at the time. He did blink comparisons and found that...
Well, he knew where to look in the sky, too. That's the other issue.
That's right. He knew exactly where to look, so his job was easy. Otherwise, it would have been nearly impossible to find it. So by his calculations, he looked at the right point in space, and by blink comparison, which is a method whereby they photograph at this point in space, studded with millions of stars, and they take another photograph a second night and a third night at the same, very same point in space, and then overlay negatives of these particular photo shots, one on top of the other, and then flash on the lights illuminating each one rapidly back and forth until the human eye is able to detect a particular movement in the two, a difference in the position of any one object out of millions in the two in the photographs. Okay, so he determined by blink comparison that there were, this planet was not only right where he said it was and was also very large, but the most frightening aspect of his discovery was that it was approaching us, coming toward our inner solar system. He was thrilled, naturally, because this was his life's work. He was thrilled and was packing up his telescope to come back to hold a press conference to divulge this discovery to the world. He never made it back. He died within 2 weeks. His telescope was not even packed up before he died.
That sounds like a Stanley Meyer thing with the Myers hydrogen generator that he was going to drive from California through to Washington, D.C., 1994, to prove that you could make a hydrogen fuel engine using RF shattering of the water molecules. It's the same thing. And we know that the South Pole Telescope was started last July measuring the dark matter. We're part of this kind of look for the God particle, which we've talked about, the boson, the Higgs boson that they're actually looking for. They have down there at the special types of telescopes that are actually underneath the ice. They're quite well aware of this, and in fact, there are articles I posted up last week in Australia about the fact that there is a, quote, a third star in our trinary system. 76% of the stars are estimated to be binary, and by a star we mean a object that was lit and went out like a dwarf star that turned into a brown dwarf, or a star that it looks like a planet, but it's very big, but it can generate more radiation than it receives in a certain wavelength band, like infrared and radio waves, such as Jupiter. And in fact, in those definitions, Jupiter is a star, so our system is a trinary system with a periodic movement of a dwarf star through our galaxy and through our solar system, as we, especially as we approach the what's called the plane of the galaxy or the galactic plane, which is a debris belt, a photon belt of the disc-shaped central part of the black sun, as they call it. This is the ancient term for it, the black hole in the center of the galaxy, equivalent to 2 trillion suns of our size, mass, compressed into a black hole and spinning near the speed of light, so it creates a very, very thin disc, relatively. And this creates a gravity well, a photon belt, and it has effects that these other objects are caught, in a sense, in this belt. So as they rotate back and forth, like this dwarf star, it causes effects that change our weather, cause plasma discharges across the between the planets, and is one of the major formers of our mountains, our continents, and the literally the face of our Earth. So we're going to talk much more about this in a few minutes with John DiNardo. And then we're going to start kind of getting conclusions as to what does this mean, where are we, when will it happen, kind of questions as we follow up. We're going to have a quick cameo first, though, when we get to the back of the hour break. Your questions on any topic, health or otherwise, 800-259-5791. John, I'd like you to continue with the analysis. What do you see as the major cataclysms and timelines as we approach the grand alignment between the center of the galaxy, the center of our sun, and our Earth on December 21st? And are some of those events already happening with the geomagnetic pole shift occurring already starting in 1997, the disappearance of the magnetosphere in the deep South Atlantic and the North Atlantic, the numbers of earthquakes and tsunamis increasing, climate shift at a very ever-increasing pace. I heard there was a snow just a day or two ago in Nebraska. New record highs and lows everywhere. Famine because the crops, of course, are failing in places like Australia, the second largest wheat producer. What does this mean, and what timeline do you see?
Well, we're seeing the early signs now, and going by past ancient civilizations' records that were kept on these particular cataclysms that happen periodically, we see from the ancient records that there's approximately 7 years of very bad, severe weather prior to the actual incoming of this particular planet, which comes in cyclically approximately every 3,600 years It orbits around the distant sun, which is our twin sun in our solar system, and then comes back, and it takes about 3,600 years to make each orbit. So going back 3,600 years ago, we have the records of the Egyptians, we have the records of the Mexicans, Mayans, and Incas, and other civilizations that recorded great floods in particular. Well, if you read Zachariah Sitchin's 12th Planet, he mentions that the Ninevite and the Babylonian astronomers recorded in their records that there will be great floods, or there were great floods and rains prior to the geological upheavals. And that's exactly what we're getting right now. We're getting record floods, and it's happening time after time, month after month, for the past several years. I mean, England was just recently flooded out. People were, you know, underwater. It was so severe that they had to airlift water in to the people because no one could actually move, and the water was all contaminated. You had the same thing happening a number of times in the United States and the Midwest. We're having floods right now.
Yes, so, we have a combination.
I think maybe a few more years before the big geological events occur.
Yeah. I'll give you sort of my analysis of what I see so far. Firstly, in 1997, there were three movements of the geomagnetic North Pole. That's significant. The next thing is in 2005, there were two solar mass ejections, and we know it's a plasma universe. So, going back to my nuclear physics, what happens is that the plasma universe means that when the outside of the solar system has a, if you want to call it, a different belt of ions, a different charge than the charge of the sun, and as the sun ejects out the protons and the energy of the solar wind, it creates a plasma field difference between the center of the sun and the outside, almost like a giant capacitor.
Right, it's called the heliosphere.
Heliosphere. And if something pierces the outside of the whole solar system up past Pluto, kind of passing through the Oort cloud, which is the cloud of debris out at the far reaches of our solar system, there can be a solar mass ejection from the center of the sun heading out. There was one, in fact, a new class called an X class. They had to actually have two new classes in October of 2005 that was so large it actually passed out 95 million miles, and it passed out half the distance from here to the moon. And if it had come closer, it would have caused major, not only blackouts, but would have caused major damage to any nations exposed to it on the Earth. That's number one. Number two, we have these major tsunamis like the Aceh tsunami, major earthquakes occurring like the one that broke the tectonic plate in Colombia a few years ago, major new earthquakes occurring around the world in an ever-increasing exponential pattern. All of these events kind of presaging that the climate shift, which is now drying out Australia, causing many other changes around the world. The globalists know this is about to happen. They're quite well aware of it. We're 2 years into a technical famine where we've actually consumed more food worldwide than we made. We have 30 nations now, including Haiti, that have declared, a form of martial law. They have United Nations workers there trying to get control of the situation. We have people trying to push this lie of peak oil at the same time to trying to weaponize our food, which will cause a massive decrease in human immunity and ability to reproduce normally with massive reductions in fertility. It's obvious that they're trying to put in place a matrix and a world ID. At the same time, they're building underground cities at a feverish pace in 4,000-plus facilities around the world in every country. In fact, we had our scientists, politicians around the world are starting to come out as whistleblowers. One, a politician in Norway who is currently was going to be videotaped by Project Camelot just after his January revelations that he gave to them. Was unavailable a month ago for videotaping because he was told if he did, he would be receive what I call extreme consequences for coming public with the fact that they were planning to have facilities for 2 million Norwegian citizens when the cataclysm strikes, and 2.65 million would die. This is very real. We have Marshall Masters, and you can go Google it yourself if you don't believe me, and look at the issue of the 2012 Guide to Survival. You can look at other documents such as the Horizon Project, where they're literally talking about culling out of the population. Many people don't even know they're, quote, selected. to be taken to underground facilities. This is like out of a B movie, but it's real. It goes back to documents like H.G. Wells' book, The Time Machine, many sources of other documents that are very ancient, like the Voynich document, supposedly written 500 years ago by Sir Francis Bacon, the illegitimate son of Queen Elizabeth. You have to know they have plans, and they're quite well aware of what's coming, and they don't want the public to be aware. They have COG, or continuity of government, and they believe that they are the keepers of civilization. So things are happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many areas of study that all converge with the same evidence that something cataclysmic is about to happen.
Well,
it's forcing the rulers of this world to take extreme tyrannical measures to, as you say, liquidate major portions of the population because they need to rule the world, and in order to do so, they've got to exterminate a good part of the people.
Let me throw a few little facts out here. The star that is on the front of the Knights Templar, which is a high level of the Knights of, they call them the Jesuits or the Knights of Jesus. That cross is not a Christian cross. That cross goes way, way back, well before the earliest dawn of prehistory. It is a flying arms of a galaxy. Number two, the sign that is the Nazi swastika you can find in the ancient temple in Delhi, India. And that swastika sign is actually the symbol of the Black Sun. You'll actually know about the organizations of the Society for the Black Sun. This is the black hole, the center of the galaxy, and the same symbols and references you'll find in the Mayan and in the I Ching in other languages, you'll realize that they had an intuitive knowledge or ancient knowledge that was degraded. So there's more evolution, more information for a devolution of scientific, technical, and historical knowledge and a previous crash of civilizations through cataclysm that happened in the ancient world. So we've had Jonathan Gray on discovering underground cities that are 12,000 years old in Turkey, and similar or older in the Andes Mountains for huge cities in the Andes Mountains and in Brazil and Peru. These are real. They're not imaginary. He's taken pictures. He's been inside them. These are very, very real. And the reason is a cataclysm is the nature of our world. It's a violent world. We're sitting on continents that are anywhere between 8 and 20 miles of hardened rock, floating on seas of molten magma, driven by nuclear reactions and solar plasma activity that interlocks with the solar plasmatic and electromagnetic forces of the sun that's locked in with this giant spinning disk of a black hole in the center of the galaxy with hundreds of billions of stars lit literally by the plasmatic jets that fly out of the center of our galaxy and feed the nuclear reactions and drive, like gears, the spinning of our sun and our entire solar system and all the planets. It's mind-boggling when you actually conceive it all. And when we're going to continue in hour number two, we're going to start getting into some specifics and answering your questions about Earth changes, much more, because you need to know what's really happening. We're not going to hear this in any other program to this depth of analysis, but we're going to try to give you the best facts we have. We don't have all of them yet, but we have a lot, and we're going to give you the best of what we have so far at this stage and continue with our dialogue in future programs with other scientists, astrophysicists, etc. We'll be back in hour number three with John DiNardo, 2012, Plasma Physics of Our Universe, and much, much more, and new solutions for your health and wealth. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hour 3, GCN Live, Stream 2. And, of course, we now have the podcasting. Take care, everyone. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.